Hello and welcome to Navigating Nursing. My name is Laura Whitehead and I'm your host. I'm a qualified adult nurse, a critical care nurse, lecturer, senior fellow of the Higher Education Academy and a doctoral student, and welcome to Navigating Nursing. And I'm joined today by Sergeant Layla Wallace, who is a nurse recruiter for the RAF, working as part of the specialist recruitment team at RAF Cranwell. Thank you so much for joining me today, Layla.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the invite, Laura.
I'm going to take you right back to the beginning. So why did you decide that you wanted to be a nurse?
Well, originally I was working as a healthcare support worker with adults with learning difficulties, with mental health difficulties and with drugs and alcohol. And I remember thinking to myself, I can't believe someone's allowing me to be to be the responsible adult in this environment. So
I've all been there.
I know, you know, pinch me moment, and you look around and you're like, oh, it's me, I'm the responsible adult. But it was brilliant. And I remember thinking every day, getting up and going to work and really wanting to be there. And that was something that I hadn't felt in the working world since leaving and doing my A-levels. So I guess that's where it was born. The company that I was with put me through my MVQ level 3, and then subsequently met nurses that would come in and out of the property to support my patients, my service users. And it kind of just rolled on from there, really. Applied to a university. I thought, I'm going to apply to the best university I can find just to see if I can get in. And I was given an unconditional offer based on how much care and experience I'd gained in that job. So, yeah, so it was really just born out of falling into a role and really just loving it. And then sort of it developed from there.
And I think it can be quite hard when people are looking at nursing courses or degrees and they're thinking, what university do I pick or where do I go? And I think your point about, picking the best, picking the one that is best going to suit you and where you want to be is really important, because there's just so many options out there, aren't there?
So many options. And I remember my mum saying, oh, I don't really want you to move away from home. So the university was quite local to where I lived anyway. It was up the road in Manchester, so it was near enough for everyone to visit but far enough for me to just get that university experience, which I thought was really important for me at the time. But again, logistics, the type of university that I went to was a heavily research sort of focused university, so it looked at sort of developing you from a research perspective as well. And I just thought, and it also was scoring quite high in terms of qualified nurses and academic sort of outcomes. So I thought, yeah, you know what, I'm going to try and do that and just aim for the highest. And someone said, yeah, and I got in.
And they did, and the rest is history. you're in the RAF, you're a nurse in the RAF. What made you decide that you wanted to join the military?
Well, it's really funny because I'm currently in recruitment. So a lot of my job is in attract as well as select. And one of the attract drives is a lot of media work that we do. And I remember sitting at home looking at an advert, and there was a nurse on the back of an aircraft, and it was, you could be a nurse in the RAF. And I thought, a bit like when I went to university, I thought, no, that can't be for me, but I'll try. So I just applied, and 6 months later I was in the Royal Air Force. But it was really from that attract piece, and from someone saying, hey, you can nurse but in a very different environment, try your luck if you will. And I did, and it paid off. So that's kind of where it came from. No family history that I knew of at the time of people being in the military. Wasn't really that knowledgeable about what the military did at the time. I just remember seeing a nurse like me on the back of an aircraft and thought, I fancy a bit of that.
I can do that. It's as good a reason as any. and your first job was a quality improvement sepsis nurse. As your first role, how did you find moving into that position?
Yeah, so I qualified and I worked as a civilian nurse in Liverpool, joined the RAF, and then was posted to Plymouth. And they offered me this role as one of the quality improvement nurses for the trust to basically care and improve outcomes for patients with severe sepsis. And I guess this is very unique to the military in that they will challenge you and put you in environments where you sort of have to discover your own potential. So the transition from working 6 months in MAU and working in that fast-paced environment to then going into a quality improvement lead job where you're working with multiple stakeholders for the clinical director was very different. But the level of autonomy that I was given was actually very useful to me, and also the mentorship that I was afforded with the defence nurses and internally with the trust. So the transition was very much controlled. I didn't feel out of control or unsupported in any way. But the options and the opportunities that were afforded to me were just so, so exciting. And then watching things improve and change with buy-in from all of the different departments was just utterly exciting to me. So I guess you're very well supported, but as a civilian nurse, that would have been the difference to what I would have been doing if I'd have stayed in Liverpool. I would have become very specialist in my area in trauma and orthopaedics. However, I probably wouldn't have had that breadth of exposure to different roles, and wouldn't have been able to work at band 7 level, just basically changing policy in a trust and watching those things change. So very, very different. But again, something that I found in my 9 years of being in the Royal Air Force and working with defence nurses is that is the goal. It's to discover your potential, but again, in a very controlled environment, just utterly exciting.
I think it shows as well that the potential that everyone has, and that we're actually probably limited by the opportunity and the support that we have. And I think from doing a lot of these episodes lately, I think it's kind of shone a light on how in the NHS there's a very rigid view of like career progression and of roles and of development. And actually, yeah, I think what the military, from all the different people I've spoken to, is there is that flexibility, but then that advanced support that then leads to those different roles that absolutely maybe wouldn't have been something that, you know, if someone said to you when you'd qualified, oh, a year or however long after you've qualified, you'll be in a quality improvement role, yeah, writing policy and be working at that level, you'd have gone, oh, there's absolutely no way I would do that. Of course I wouldn't. I'll be taking charge on the shift, or I'll taking students, or I'll be an assessor, or your answer might have been quite different to what you then actually ended up doing at that stage in your career.
Yeah, and I think defence is ahead of the game in that, or was ahead of the game in that respect, because the NHS is very much sort of toe-to-toe in terms of how they're developing their nurses now. They've got band 6 sort of level programs that they're doing. They've got rotational programs, so but 9 years, you know, they're definitely, you know, competing toe-to-toe in some areas, but 9 years ago that was unheard of, like you said. And that potential as a band 5 nurse with just really a passion to just explore, you know, quality improvement and make things easier in work, because I think that's where quality improvement comes from. It's just, oh, this could be a little bit easier. This could be a little bit more beneficial to the patient, the service user, or yourself. And you just scratch that itch and you investigate from there. But the defence was very much at the forefront of doing that at the time 9 years ago. And the confidence that I got from fulfilling that role is something that I try to sort of impress on other nurses coming through now, especially newly qualified nurses that I come into contact with if I do Nursing Times Live. They have that potential. It's just creating an environment that opens up those options for them.
And your role after your quality improvement role, you then moved on and was part of the deployable aeromedical response team. How did you find kind of looking at that pre-hospital care and inpatient nursing care from a deployable point of view? Because that's, again, a really different role to what you were doing.
Again, it's all about that breadth of experience when you're a defence nurse, because you could be popped in any sort of environment where you're expected to work within a team, or maybe more autonomously, but expected to work at a certain level. So that breadth of exposure is really important with what we do. So yeah, band 5 nurse, just being, you know, quality improvement environments, looking at academia and sort of then popped into a pre-hospital care job role. Again, my clinical exposure was just phenomenal, and I was doing, you know, pre-hospital care courses that nursing courses and clinical courses that an emergency medicine nurse would be expected to do, just to my level of understanding. You know, I'm not an ED spec nurse at all, but as a generalist nurse, I was expected to do all of those pre-hospital care courses, advanced trauma life courses, so that and also primary health care, because that job involves being, you know, the first medical footprint in any sort of environment, operational environment. and being able to provide that level of care, whether it's to the population who are there already, or whether it's to soldiers or your own med team. So again, you know, 6 months worth of intensive training, but your clinical confidence just skyrockets, and just another wonderful experience that added something just extra to my portfolio, really. And what was lovely was that my background is very much generalist nursing. They call me jack of all trades, master of none, but actually I'm quite experienced. And to be then selected as the battles, one of the battles trauma instructors at Lichfield, just because I'd performed well, was just really, really, phenomenal for me. It was just something that I wouldn't expect. But again, that sort of development opportunity is there for you. And again, I just then go to Lichfield every now and again to just deliver the course. And it was, it's just your portfolio with defence is just constantly growing. And I think that's kind of what sets us apart a little bit. Just professionally. So again, that transition was a steep learning curve, but it's done in a very controlled way. You've got very, advanced consultants, advanced paramedics around you teaching you all of this material. And it's phenomenal what nurses can actually apply themselves to if they're given the opportunity to.
And you then went on and did a leadership position within the aeromedical evacuation team. How did you find then kind of going and having to be a leader within that environment?
So I think even from an early stage as a corporal, as a non-commissioned officer, junior NCO, a junior non-commissioned officer, you're kind of given quite a lot of opportunity to lead and develop teams. And I always say this to my newly qualified nurses is you do this already. You will walk onto that ward and you will be leading your patients, that you're leading them in their diagnostics, or you're leading them in terms of telling them what their discharge plan is. You're also managing doctors and nurses and student nurses, and you're making dynamic risk assessments as you go. You're that nurse in charge. And equally, when you are put on your junior management leadership course, you're asked to perform certain tasks as the leader. So it's within every nurse to do that. It's just some jobs are a little bit more defined in that role. So I promoted and then went to the aeromedical evacuation squadron. And there were various job roles that I had to perform where I was sort of holding that risk. But I felt like by that point I'd had so much experience and been pushed and challenged in lots of different exercises, even adventurous training, that I felt quite comfortable with that. When I deployed as the sort of aeromedical evacuation lead for that team, again, it felt very controlled. It felt like everything I'd done had built up to that moment. If there was a moment where there wasn't any confidence or I was needing support, it was just a call away to another nurse. And I think that's what's so lovely about it, is that your community, although we're spread all over the UK and internationally, there is always someone that you can ring to get some advice for. So again, I just feel like it's an intensive time, especially when you first join up as a defence nurse, but you're just exposed to so many things that by the time it comes that you're the person in charge, the nominated person, it feels quite exciting, really. It was okay, and it was a lot of fun as well.
And then you went on to, as part of the vaccination programme in partnership with South East NHS Hub. That, again, another really big change. I taught a lot of vaccinators and did a lot of the training and worked at the hubs too. And very different to any other kind of clinical role or teaching that I'd done before. And I'm sure it sounds similar to your clinical experience in that way.
Yeah. It was so lovely. It was almost like a big national movement, wasn't it, with defence and the NHS. And I felt like this is a really momentous time for everyone, albeit a very sort of unusual and perhaps not as you're not that confident of the outcome, really, because it was a pandemic at the end of the day. But it felt like everyone was contributing and doing their bit. And I really love that. But I got a call after I'd got back from a 5-week deployment in Cyprus to say, sorry, but you're the one who's qualified and I need you to go to Milton Keynes, of all places, for 2 months.
You weren't getting Milton Keynes, were you, on the geography of where you were going to get sent?
I was like, oh, what an exotic place this sounds. But originally I was Cambridge, and I thought, brilliant. I just, you know, I was imagining myself on the water, just floating around and seeing all the sights. But a colleague of mine, it wasn't near to her hometown, so we decided to do a swap, and I got Milton Keynes. But I would always implore anyone who's even as a nurse to just say yes to things, because that deployment, I did not want to go on it, and it turned out to be one of the nicest things I've ever done in my career, because we were doing it over Christmas, we were vaccinating over Christmas, I was leading a team of 11 you know, non-clinical personnel, juniors as well, who were giving up their Christmas to vaccinate the public, and we just had such a great time. The hotel put a Christmas party on for us, they treated us so well. Sort of being the responsible adult in that particular team, especially because they were so junior, was just so, so lovely, because you can make and break their day sometimes, particularly when they're giving up so much of their own time over a specific holiday. Some people were getting married, you know, were giving up quite significant milestones in their lives to do this deployment, and having that responsibility to make sure that it was nice for them and enjoyable and worthwhile for them. Was just such an honour. But yeah, I think at one point we vaccinated over 600 people in one day, and there was a lot of sort of development because they came from a non-clinical role, so we were doing a lot of risk assessment and getting them really involved with it, and I think you just made friends for life. I'm still in touch with them now, so I'd always say keep an open mind. I genuinely did not want to go away that time. It wasn't that enticing being in Milton Keynes, but I absolutely loved it, and the NHS staff were brilliant. They offered me a job when I'd left. I was but it was just lovely. It was lovely to join forces and just to give them that exposure to what defence nursing does, really. So yeah, it was a lovely experience.
And you've mentioned this already, but you're now working in recruitment and selection. How have you found moving to like a non-clinical role?
Yeah. So, it's brilliant. So again, after 9 years of being, well, five of those years, essentially I was operationally sort of at the forefront, so very active, which was lovely, but the opportunity to sort of sidetrack into something completely different was given to me, and again, that's one of the reasons why I joined the Royal Air Force, is to have that breadth of experience and move away from clinical sometimes. So it's been brilliant, because my job essentially involves like looking at marketing campaigns, collecting data. So I use my quality improvement background to collect data to drive strategy. It's a really exciting time for the RAF at the moment, because recruitment and retention is at the forefront of everyone's mind. It's the Chief of Air Staff's main priority at the moment. So I can affect and sort of suggest change in a really bold and creative way, and the powers that be, you know, they want to hear what's happening on the floor plate. So for sergeants and non-commissioned officers, it's a really exciting time to be part of this environment. We're selecting. What a part of our job is not just to track, so we don't just look at marketing campaigns or engagement, public engagement. We look at the select side of things, so we're constantly meeting different nurses from all sorts of different backgrounds, and even if they didn't decide to join the Royal Air Force, it's so lovely meeting newly qualified nurses and finding out what their aspirations are, and it's so lovely for them to see what we do, and to maybe put themselves in our position to say, you know, a bit like I did when I was watching that TV advert, that I didn't realize I could do something like that, and then there's me saying absolutely you can, and they love it, they absolutely love that. So even if they don't join, there's another option there for them, which is really important, particularly for newly qualified nurses who are entering into the NHS, to just know that there's other nurses out there that understand what you're going through. There's reach back if they want to join the PMs, the Princess Mary's Royal Air Force Nursing Service, and become part of our community. They'll always have us as their community, and yeah, it's just so lovely, and we're having a really good response at the moment. So It's a wonderful job. It's I am still clinical. I still do about seven and a half long days every 6 months. So I have an honorary contract where I go back and do my clinical. And but at the same time, it's just lovely kind of meeting other nurses and newly qualified nurses in particular to say, hey, you know, if you want it, there's other things out there for you. A lot of the data that I collected recently over the last year is really strongly suggests that they just don't think that this is something that's in their remit to achieve. And I'm there to say it absolutely is if you want it. And it absolutely is in any job that you go into. You've got that potential. I love being that type of person in their lives. So yeah, a wonderful job, very different to what I'm used to, but again, I've got accredited courses that I've been put through in order to do my role, and I'm exposed to TV companies, marketing, psychologists, policy, and these are all really good experiences for me to take forward into the world of nursing, particularly if I want to go into corporate or managerial nursing. So again, I'm quids in really with my
you really role. Are and I think it goes to show that yeah, we can limit ourselves and we can view maybe nursing as, and I don't mean just clinical, I don't mean that in an offensive way, but as though that's maybe the type of nursing that we only see. And I found since becoming a lecturer and kind of now becoming a senior lecturer within my role, lots of people I would have had no idea that yeah, I would be speaking with stakeholders and doing commission, you know, all the things that running organizing programs and Ofsted, and I would have had no idea if someone said 5 years ago, this is what you'll be doing, or speaking to you, this is what you'll be doing now. So yeah, I think sometimes we can kind of limit ourselves by our own imagination, which is why it's so important to have roles like yours, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with it. And nurses can do those roles very, very well. But yeah, absolutely. And I hope the nurses that listen to this podcast really are inspired to just think a bit more laterally and creatively about the types of skills that they've got, because they can apply them to so many different roles.
Really can. And you've mentioned about the different CPD that you've done, continual professional development. Have you got any advice for anyone that's maybe thinking of applying for a course or a programme, but is maybe a little bit unsure?
Yeah, go for it. Absolutely go for it. If you don't ask, you don't get. I asked when I was working in the NHS and I didn't get, so I asked somewhere else. I went to the RAF instead. But keep knocking on those doors. If it's something that you truly want, just go for it. Even if it's a small course, there is always going to be funding around. Develop yourself for you. Find your why. Find what makes you get up in the morning, whether that be like me when I was first starting out in healthcare and I was working in for service users, you know, as a healthcare support worker. Find your why, because that's going to take you really far in your career. Nothing else will. Is just your enthusiasm about what you do, and you know, you don't always have to be academic. You don't have to do lots and lots of courses. You just do what you want to do. The very fact that you've signed up to be a nurse and dedicate your career to helping others is wonderful in itself. But find a mentor, find somebody that's kind, compassionate, that understands what you're going through. Find a nursing mentor and really just use your resources around you, and continue to create that community of kind professionals that want people to develop in their career. But do it for you. Just whatever you're interested in, just try. Do it for you and enjoy it, really. But yeah, so that would be my top tip. I'm just trying to think what I'm currently signed up for. I did apply for a NATO role, a NATO program, which was in Germany, and a defense management and leadership course, which looks at quality improvement. But there's so much out there. Just really, if you Google, there's absolutely loads out there, particularly if you get on the NHS website. There's a leadership and development course through the NHS. Just go with your passion, go what you're interested in. Don't listen to anyone else and just do what makes you get up in the morning with a smile on your face, and you won't go wrong.
Good advice. And what advice have you got anyone that's newly qualified or that's a student nurse at the moment?
Well, like I said, I think for me, mentorship is the most important thing when it comes to your career. And it doesn't have to be a nurse. It can be, I've got mentors that are outside of my professional remit. Find a mentor, find someone that you can talk to candidly, openly about what you're concerned about, what interests you. find someone to bounce those ideas off that's separate from your work environment or your ward, and use those people around you to you know, explore your own potential. So I would say, you know, the biggest thing for me through my 9 years in the Royal Air Force is having a mentor and being a mentor to other people, and just be committed to that, just creating a community of kind individuals. But yeah, I would always say, even if it's someone outside of nursing, find a mentor. And if you want me to mentor you, I will do, because I love mentoring.
It's gonna be a long list.
I love it. But yeah, find a mentor and really just use them and bounce your ideas in a safe environment where you can just be really open about what's bugging you or what you really want to achieve. Just find someone to talk to.
And where do you see your career going? What are your aims for the future?
Well, in the 9 years that I've been in, I've managed to squeeze a lot of jobs, and that's what I would say is just say yes, even if you don't think, oh, this might challenge me a little bit, just say yes, because I honestly, the things that I've really not wanted to do have turned out to be the most exciting, rewarding positions, and they're not forever. And you are, you know, in charge of your own career. So even if it's something that a job that you don't really want to do, eventually you can say, but it's time for me to move on, or you will be headhunted by somebody who offers you a better opportunity. You are in control. But grasp those opportunities, explore it for what they're worth, try and keep an open mind, particularly for the things that, you know, might challenge you a little bit more or might put you out of your comfort zone. But for me, I'm not sure, because I've actually done quite a bit. I'm loving this job at the moment. I think for me, I'm starting to look at more corporate NHS, so more managerial side of nursing. So I'd really like to look at doing a management and leadership course, maybe from the Chartered Institute of Managers, and just seeing if I can explore that side of my professional portfolio. I would like to deploy again. I love deploying. I love going away to new countries. When I was on aeromedical evacuation, I did 46 missions in 2.5 years and visited so many countries, and it really does excite me. So I think another deployment might be on the cards if I can get one. But again, I'm just keeping an open mind. I'm in a very, very busy job at the moment, which me and my dog are enjoying the fruits of having a 9-to-5 job, which we haven't had for a while. So I'm focusing on my personal life, and you know, what might happen in the future, I'm just keeping an open mind.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And you have shared some fantastic advice for everyone listening, for myself included. So thank
you
so
much. You're welcome. And well done. This is a wonderful thing that you're doing for your nurses. So yeah, thanks, Laura. Thanks for the invite.